Hi, listeners. Stories have so much power, and so does whoever controls the narrative. It is time that we dissect and analyze these stories. I am Vipul, and this is Woke Tales. Hi everyone. Today's story is one of Hans Christian Andersen's fairy tales, The Tinderbox, and goes to show that sometimes the heroes of fairy tales are not really heroes, and it's important not to stereotype fairy tale characters. And on that note, it's story time. A soldier is marching home from the wars when he meets a hideous but extremely friendly witch who promises to make his fortune if he will only contribute a little brute strength. He has his doubts when she directs him to an old hollow tree by the roadside, but she fills his head with images of gold and he climbs down into the tree anyway, armed with the witch's blue-checked apron and some rather strange advice. He finds himself in a wide hallway lighted by hundreds of candles and lined by three doors. Opening the first door, the soldier comes face to face with a dog whose eyes are the size of teacups. But remembering the witch's advice, he briskly lays down her apron and deposits the dog on top, where it sits meekly watching him raid the chest of copper coins it was guarding. The same thing happens in the next room, where a dog with eyes the size of mill wheels is guarding silver, and in the room after that, where a dog with eyes the size of a tower is guarding gold. Now, the deal with the witch goes something like this. The soldier gets to keep as much money as he likes, if he will only bring her one thing, an old tinderbox with alleged sentimental value. You'd think a knapsack's worth of gold would be enough to send anyone on their way with no questions asked. But the soldier is curious, and when the witch refuses to answer him, he whips out his sword, hacks off her head, and calmly continues his way with the tinderbox still in his pocket. He also keeps her apron. The soldier heads into the nearest town to spend his ill-gotten gains, obtaining a room in the finest hotel and living life to full as a grand gentleman with a crowd of enthusiastic new friends. With such constant spending and no new income, however, it does not take him long to run out of money. Then he's back to square one in a dark attic, abandoned by his city friends, with only a couple of shillings and the tinderbox he stole off the dead witch. He strikes the flint, but instead of light, he conjures up the first dog from the caverns beneath the hollow tree, the one with eyes the size of teacups. Whatever the soldier commands, it announces, it will provide. With a little experimentation, the soldier works it out. If he strikes the tinderbox once, the first dog will bring him copper. Strike it twice, the second brings him silver. Strike it three times, and the third will bring gold, as much as he desires. The soldier is now an exceptionally rich man with a seemingly inexhaustible supply of money. He returns to his grand lifestyle, his friends flock back to him, and the new power of the tinderbox goes right to his head. So when someone tells him that the king has a very beautiful daughter whom nobody is allowed to see, he decides that rule shouldn't apply to him. So he summons up a magic dog to bring the girl to him in the middle of the night so he can watch her sleep, which isn't at all creepy, is it? The princess sleeps through the entire thing, but at breakfast with her parents the next morning, she recounts the events of the night as a dream. These are the sort of people who lock their daughter up behind brass walls and won't let her meet anyone. So it's hardly surprising when the queen posts a lady in waiting to watch the princess the next night, just to be on the safe side. And sure enough, the dog returns. The lady-in-waiting watches them disappear into the soldier's lodging house and marks the door there with the chalk so as to remember it. After the dog has carried the princess back to her own bed, however, it spots the chalk and shows unexpected initiative by marking every other door in the town with precisely the same cross. The lady-in-waiting's plan has backfired rather badly. That doesn't mean the queen has any intention of giving up. She simply comes up with a different method. Sewing together a pretty little silk bag, which she fills with white flour, she ties it to her daughter's waist, and when the princess is whisked away for a third night, the bag spills a trail across the town, right to the soldier's room. First thing the next morning, the royal guards arrive to throw him into prison, where it's dark and dank, and there's a gaoler who keeps reminding him when his hanging is going to be. Tomorrow, as it happens. He doesn't even have his tinderbox. So basically, he's stuffed. This soldier is a cunning sort of a man, though. On the morning of his execution, while crowds flock to the gallows to watch the fun, he bribes a passing apprentice with a shilling to run and fetch his tinderbox. When he's brought out of the gallows, before the crowd of thousands and a pair of bloodthirsty protective parents, his last request is one final smoke. It seems the harmless request of a dead man walking and is granted. The soldier whips out his tinderbox and strikes it once, twice, three times. And there are all three of his magic dogs waiting on his word. "Don't let me be hanged," the soldier cries, and the dogs descend, throwing people around until they break. The king and queen are among the dog's victims. Seeing which side is the better option, the crowd who gathered to see the soldier hanged instead declare him their next monarch and throw in the princess as his wife for good measure. And the soldier lives happily ever after, a rich and powerful man with a beautiful wife and three violent dogs to back up his every command. The end. I don't know if the king and queen survived the rampage, although Anderson doesn't say specifically, the odds don't look good. Perhaps they weren't ideal parents, but when a strange man spirits your daughter out of her bedroom each night on the back of a bizarre and dangerous-looking beast, I think overreactions are to be expected, especially when the angry parents run the local judicial system. The soldier could have tried apologizing. Instead, he orphaned the girl he supposedly loved and moved into her parents' home without a qualm. Which goes to show that sometimes the heroes of fairy tales are not people you would want to know. I, for one, loathed him from the moment he double-crossed the poor old witch. Maybe someday the princess will get hold of the tinderbox and go all Queen of Hearts, taking over the city herself. You never know. On that note, bye for now. Let me know your thoughts on the story and our discussion by emailing me on woketalespodcast@gmail.com or through social media at woketalespodcast on Instagram and woketalespod on Twitter. And please rate, review, and like Woketales Podcast, and don't forget to subscribe so you can easily access our weekly stories. If you have any story recommendations or if you want to come dissect and analyze a story with me, give me a shout out on email or social media. Because whatever you do, keep dissecting and keep analyzing.